Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and today is March 27th, 2020, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast. I'm joined by Craig Ruffalo, Vice President of McKinney Flavelle. Hello, Craig. How are you?
Hey, Mike. How are you, buddy?
Oh, I'm good. How are you from the home office? I can only do pictures with you now because, you know, we have to stay away from each other.
That's social distancing.
So,
oh, thank God. You know. I thought it was a restraining order.
And phew. I'm going to let the listeners say who filed against who.
Hey, it's a 50-50 call.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like a sports bet. We don't have our sports anymore. So
no, hey, we'll bet on the odds on that one.
Yeah, welcome to the Hot Commodity Podcast, everybody. I thought, Craig, we would continue with the theme of COVID-19 and impact on our industry, and we'll talk about two things. But first, I just had a thought this morning. I was sitting there thinking, you know, my dog Cannoli, the attack multi-poo that we have, what does he think about all this? You know, because here's a guy that had his whole day to himself, you know,
right.
Kids were going to school, right. My wife was in and out of the house going to work. I was out of the house work. And now he's like, you guys are here all the time.
Yeah.
What's, you know, so he's either got one or two thoughts. One is like, God, these guys really love me. I'm pretty cool. Or the other is, hey, will you guys give me some distance here? Come on.
Yes. Social distance. Come on, man. Give me the 6 feet here.
Yeah.
No, our dog Lily is having a real struggle with this because she keeps looking at us going, well, are we supposed to be here or are you supposed to be going somewhere? And she can't figure it out. She wants to go outside or be inside. Are we going for a walk? Are we not? Yeah. She's kind of confused about this whole thing.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, what a better time to cuddle up with your dog and have a little enjoyment through that with all the craziness going on. So, so today I thought we would talk about, again, two things that in our industry, impact of COVID-19. And I thought one, we would talk about Parel. And then let's shift over to OJ. So
of course.
Oh, there you go. I'm getting a little Parel.
There you
right
go. Get a little sanitizer going. Yep, there you go.
Okay.
All right.
Well, Craig, you did a wonderful blog post this week on our IQ platform.
Yeah, which was thank you.
Pretty dang cool. And why don't you talk a little bit about the impact? I mean, everybody's hearing about this. People are using this stuff left and right.
They are.
Shortages. And what is the impact to our industry for all this?
Well, you know, obviously you got the big distilled spirits companies.
You're not drinking are you?
No. I'm drinking some orange juice. We'll get into that in a minute.
Okay.
You know, please people don't drink that. That's terrible.
Don't drink Parel.
That is not an internet challenge. We are not asking you to do that.
Yeah.
With the distilled spirits companies, you see that everybody's trying to pitch in. I think this is the first and overall theme to any of these commentaries on COVID-19 is that it's wonderful to see companies, holistically or not, at least they're jumping into the fray to help out, whether that's people like Honeywell trying to do masks or ventilators from industries that are not traditionally producers. This is kind of like all hands on deck, kind of like the car manufacturers in World War II or other people like the H.J. Heinz company that used to make ammunition for World War II. And you now see these companies starting to put out hand sanitizers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what that really is going to do is it is going to look downstream to the ethanol industry. And right now, Mike, you know, we just had an announcement of 2 billion gallons of capacity is probably going to go out of business because of the lack of margins. We're below a dollar a gallon on ethanol today, 92.5 cents. Some of these dry milling operators are underwater by a dollar a bushel on their cost, so they can't afford to stay in business. So as these guys are going out of business, boy, what little shot in the arm that we're finding is those that can do beverage alcohol, the higher grade ethanol, can turn around and they're selling it to the distilled spirits groups left and right, and they're turning that into some form of hand sanitizer.
Got it.
And so you don't have an industry that everybody that's participating can do this style of beverage alcohol, but sure. It does allow for some of them, an Archer Daniels Midland, a grain processing, and a few dry millers that have put in the filtration and the equipment to up the alcohol content and create it as almost an industrial, almost a food grade, if you will, product. Those companies are the ones that are going to be benefiting from this turnaround. There was an article that I read that said, basically, the way that the formula for hand sanitizer is it's roughly about a third alcohol.
Okay.
And then you have some other component. It's usually some form of glycerin or glycol, which we'll talk about in just a second, that you mix to get that little bit of that feel and that sheen. That mm-hmm. is the stuff that's the humectant that makes your skin not dry out when you put a Purell on your hands or you put some kind of moisturizer on your hands. That a number, if people were basically looking at, well, how much are we really talking about? Somebody did the math and they said we're probably looking at around 30 million to 45 million gallons of beverage alcohol that wow. this is going to represent if every person in the U.S. used a hand sanitizer twice a day. They also said, let's not get, yeah, there you go. So you're going to exceed the quota. They did say, however, interesting, is that in order to absorb the number of production facilities that are going to go out of business, every adult would have to sanitize themselves with hand sanitizer 625 times a day.
Wow.
I just don't see that happening. So while it's a shot in the arm, it don't by no means is it a savior to this industry.
There's three.
But it does have a little bit of an impact of those that are in the beverage side because that style of ethanol is mm-hmm. not in high production.
Right. Okay.
And so right now to impact our industry, to get back to the listeners' real interest on all that, is that those that do have that capability are beyond normalcy for their own production, and they're starting to short certain customers of full contract volumes in order to take advantage of the opportunity to help the distilled spirits groups create this product. So that's the big thing with the industry.
All right. Anything else on that topic before we move on to OJ?
No, I think at the end of the day, just use it. Use the Purell, use whatever hand sanitizers you're using. And then the only other thing that we want to mention is that glycol. The glycol can come traditionally from petroleum.
Okay.
But guess what, Mike? There is bio-based glycol that's out there. They produce it from corn or other derivatives. So it could be another systematic approach to the wet millers looking to do some diversification of grind. They do make
shift
a glycol.
Grind.
Yeah. Mm. So there could be a little bit of glycol production. It's downstream. You're basically going to produce a product that is replicating a petroleum-based ethylene glycol. And if you look at the back of any skin moisturizers, facial creams, and Purell and other sanitizers, they'll have two products that will be in combination, either a glycerin that comes from the vegetable fats and oils business or glycol. So take a look at that and see where that is in your world. And that could have a little downstream impact as well on corn wet milling.
Well, and I couldn't think of a better time if you're sitting in your home office to say, corn sweetener negotiations haven't really come up yet for next year, but
no. But not yet.
How is this going to impact? Well, our paying customers can call any of us and talk to us a little bit more about how that might impact their corn sweetener buy. So,
absolutely. Happy to talk to them about it. Let's do that.
Well, and the other thing, Craig, that we've noticed is obviously people are running to the grocery stores. They're sitting in lines outside inside the grocery store to stockpile their needs.
That's true.
Yes. And one of the things that you hear a lot about is through this virus is taking care of yourself and making sure that you're as healthy as can be. So if you do get it, that you can fight it off. And so staying healthy is super important. One of the things that we've seen that impact is orange juice, an industry that has really struggled over the last several years.
Oh, man.
But now people are saying, hey, that vitamin C in that OJ is really good for you. I should buy it. So what are we seeing there, Craig?
The futures market is somewhat of an indication of demand pull. And we have seen futures market go from $1.30 a foot pound solid down to 88 cents and slightly below. So we've seen a massive 50 cents a foot pound solid reduction in the price on FCOJ. And in the last 3 weeks, I think the Dukes from trading places have come back into the market and they're trying to corner it.
Oh my God, you ran in the, I want to watch that movie.
You have to now.
I think I'm going to watch that this weekend.
You're going to have to because, I mean, if there isn't a better movie to watch about the world that we live in right now in commodities, I wouldn't know which one to actually put you to. But it's a great training tool for futures and options trading. But the point I'm making is that we've run back up to $1.21 fruit pound solids. And what everybody is doing is why? What's creating this push? There's two factors. One, there is a reduction going on in Brazil's production for oranges. The box count may be between 240 and 270 million boxes, down from about 380 plus last year. Mexico, with the drought that they had and then the rains they're getting now, they're not doing as well as it did the last year. But generally, you're seeing a push by the speculators to jump in for this purpose. What's a great old remedy for any kind of cold and flu season is vitamin C, and good old orange juice provides it, and couldn't become at a better time because we've seen processors start to question whether they're going to be in the game long term. And we may have seen another round of closures of processing plants in the United States if we didn't get a shot in the arm for demand. And boy, we could use this as an industry. They could use it really well. And hopefully it doesn't mean it's just the coronavirus that does it for them, that the people start going back and they go, oh, I'm rediscovering orange juice, how much I liked it. Why am I not drinking more?
Yeah, I mean, you can take a look, and I think it has definitely a potential for long-term growth because I think that something significant like this impacts people's thought process on how they take care of themselves. And I'm sure it's pretty good chance that this continues, that demand continues, and especially the near term.
Yeah, Mike, I think every conversation I've had in the last week and a half is that I have people suggesting that this is going to create step change in a lot of things. People's consumption patterns being one. I think the business world is going to change some of its normalcies. Virtual offices, I think, are going to become a bigger trend. We can talk about that even at a different time, at a different podcast. But it's just one of those things where the end result of wherever this end of the tail of this COVID-19 ends, there's going to be something at the other end of that that's going to change lifestyles. And what all of them there are going to be, we don't know yet, but there's definitely going to be change.
Absolutely. All right. I think it's time for us to wrap up this podcast.
Let's do it.
And hey, for all our listeners out there, if you've been trying to figure out the right time to go long on edible oils, boy, Craig, I don't know about you, but I've been logging into our IQ platform every single day. There's tons of great.
Every day, man. There is something cool on there.
If you're a subscriber and you want a demo, it's super easy to navigate through. If you're interested in getting information through our IQ platform, just reach out to us. But if you're looking at, when do I go long on edible oils, and how about tropical oils like palm, kernel, and coconut oil? You know what, Craig? We have, fortunately for our listeners out there, we have an incredible in-depth monthly publication for edible oil specifically.
I read it every month.
You do?
I read it every month.
It's great. It has soy, canola, corn, and of course, tropical oils.
Yeah.
And just if you're in there right now listening, you can find that under the subcategory edible oils. And it's right there. And it says monthly edible oils. And it's obviously,
No. Is that what it says?
It's really cool. The front page has a little link thing. So like it gives you the topics and just click on it and it goes straight to what you need. And there's a lot of cool stuff in there. So check it out. We have monthlies for a lot of the different commodities, world sugar, cocoa, et cetera. So check it out. And if you have any questions about the edible oil market, edible oils market, I should say, Nicole Thomas is our expert on it. So reach out to her. Yeah.
She's phenomenal. She'll be able to help you, any of the listeners out there, understand and tread through some waters that are not easily accessible and all. I mean, when you go from 30 cents to 26 cents on soybean oil,
yeah,
she's going to be able to give you some guidance as to where the forecasted price point will be on that product.
Yep, absolutely. And so if you're sitting at your home office there and you're like, hey,
home office,
how do I get connected to what's happening in commodities? Our IQ platform can do just that. We got all kinds of articles charting.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the one on the hand sanitizers. We're not just doing sugar and corn and cocoa. We're doing things on crude oil, dairy, nut meats. We've got a bevy of commodities we post information
Check
on.
It out. And if you want a trial, give us a call as well. So
give us a call.
Well, Craig, as I always like to say, live with an attitude of gratitude. I really mean it. I mean, I think this is a perfect opportunity to challenge ourselves to live in the present, as those out there who meditate live in the present. Be thankful for what you have and keep healthy. Drink orange juice and spirits and everything else. I think spirits go well with OJ, don't they?
I think there's something called, yeah, I think there is.
Well, Craig, I wish you a good day.
Same to you, Mike.
If you would have video chat, we could do that too. That way we can,
yeah.
It's kind of like we're next to each other in an office or something.
That's right. People would probably be like, oh, they're just right like every other day.
Exactly. All right, everybody, we're going to wrap it up. Have a great weekend. Stay safe out there. And until next week, take care.
Be good.
Bye now. That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Favel's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favel.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.